encourage you to take a Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, Jesus is teaching on the Mount of Olives his disciples about the future, what is coming. And we're going to pick up with verse 32 as Jesus encourages his disciples and others to be ready, prepared for his return. He says in verse 32, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Let's stop there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer and I thank you that Jesus is coming again. And I thank you for that hope and I thank you that he taught us that we need to be prepared. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to present this message so that all who hear will be ready and prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Excuse me. Have you ever been caught unprepared? Perhaps you went to school one day and the teacher announced a pop quiz. And you haven't been studying and you're not ready for the pop quiz and you fail the pop quiz. Or perhaps you have company drop by, unannounced, unexpected. And your house is a mess and you want to invite them in, but you know you don't even have anything to offer them. You're unprepared. Or perhaps you get a letter from the IRS and says, "We're going to do an audit on you." And they show up one day and you're not prepared. You don't have the documents ready. Folks, that can be a real problem. On a more somber note, suppose you have had some tests run and the doctor says, "I'm sorry, but you've got less than 6 months to live." And you know you're not prepared to die. You know you haven't made preparations that your family's taken care of. Not being prepared can be a significant problem. Well, this morning I want to share with you a message about a major event that billions of people are not going to be prepared for, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. And when he returns, it's not just a matter of being embarrassed, it's not just a financial loss we're talking about, we're talking about, for many, the eternal loss of their souls. And then for some Christians, his return will mean that they will be examined by the Lord and found not faithful and will not have any reward for eternity. Well, we're going to talk this morning about being prepared for the return of Jesus, for he's coming again. In fact, that's my first point that I want to make this morning from this text, and that is the return of Jesus is certain. Notice what Jesus says in verse 34, "Assuredly, I say to you, This generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. As he describes end time events, including his second coming, Jesus says that this generation will not pass till all these things take place, including his return. And then in verse 35, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. It is more certain that heaven and earth will pass away before my word will fail to come to pass. And so what Jesus promised about his return is sure to happen. Jesus said in John 10:35, the scripture cannot be broken. What Jesus has said is now part of scripture, and it cannot be broken. His promises cannot be broken. He will surely come again. And I know that almost 2,000 years have passed since Jesus first promised to come again. And some may doubt that he's coming, but I can tell you, Jesus is indeed coming again. That is certain. Back in the 1860s, there was a leader of England called Benjamin Disraeli. And he rose into Parliament, but he was born a Jew and was discriminated because he was a Jew. And one time he rose to speak, and Parliament responded with boos and heckles and would not allow him to speak and to be heard. And then he mustered up his loudest voice and he said to them, the time will come when you will hear me. And sure enough, in 1868 and again in 1874, he was elected Prime Minister of England, and they certainly would hear the Prime Minister. Well, Jesus Christ was despised and rejected. He was crucified. He went away, but he says, I'm coming back. This world has not seen or heard the last of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. And so that's good news for those of us who know the Lord. It's good news for the future of our world. But you know, I'm not very optimistic as I look at the world today in a lot of ways. It seems like things are getting worse rather than getting better. I'm not very optimistic that science is going to solve our problems. I'm not optimistic that political systems are going to solve our problems. But I tell you who will solve our problems, and that's Jesus Christ when he comes again. There'll be no more war, no more sickness, no more death when Jesus comes again. So the return of Jesus is certain. But we also see from our text the fact that the exact timing of his return is uncertain. This is first stated in verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus says, no one knows when I'm coming back. Only the Father knows. I do not know when Jesus is coming. You do not know when Jesus is coming. No preacher or teacher knows when Jesus is coming, according to the word of Jesus himself. And yet I remembered back in 1988, someone came out with a book entitled, Why I Believe Jesus is Coming, and September 1988. Well, he didn't come in September of 1988, and that book is absolutely worthless today. And so don't believe those who say, well, I know when Jesus is coming again. And even though he is certain to come, he says we don't know when he's going to come. Now, as we get closer to the return of Jesus, we can get an idea that his coming may indeed be near, but we still don't know the exact day or hour of his return. And if you look at verse 43, we see him emphasize this same truth and illustrate it. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Now, thieves do not announce when they're coming, right? I mean, they don't call you up and say, this is your neighborhood thief. I'm going to be making some house calls. Would 11 o'clock be about right for you tonight? No, they don't do that. They come absolutely unannounced. And based on what Jesus says here, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Yes, Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. You don't know when he's going to come. He could come when you least expect it. And you wonder, why is it that though the Lord gives signs of his return, he doesn't give the date and the time of his return? Well, I believe he does so for the very reason that he wants us to have motivation to always be prepared, always be living faithfully for the Lord, because we do not know when he will return. You know, back when our two sons got old enough to be left alone, when Cheryl and I went on a trip, for example, we would say, well, we're going away. But you know what? I would oftentimes not tell them when we're coming back. You know, I wanted them to just kind of be guessing, kind of be on their guard. Maybe that would motivate them not to do something they shouldn't be doing while we were gone. And that's kind of the way it is with the Lord Jesus here. And so the coming is certain. The timing of his coming is uncertain. But the purpose of his return is a cause for our concern. It's a cause for our concern. You see, Jesus is coming again, and that's good news to some and bad news for others. It's good news for those who are believers, especially believers who are living faithfully, but it's bad news for those who are unbelievers. And in this text, we see one of the reasons why Jesus is coming again. He is coming to judge the living and the dead, as it says in the Apostles' Creed. And so there's two groups that are going to face the examination and judgment of the Lord Jesus when he comes again. And the first is this: believers will be examined and rewarded. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus, your sins have already been judged at the cross. Your sin is paid in full. And so you will not face judgment regarding your sin, but regarding your service and how faithful you've been living for the Lord. And so notice what Jesus says in verses 45 to 47. He makes an illustration. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in their due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Now, he makes an illustration of a wealthy landowner, and he has these servants, and he puts one servant as the head over all the other servants and the affairs of the household, and he goes away. And while he goes away, is this lead servant going to be faithful to his master or unfaithful to his master? If he's faithful, he's going to be rewarded very well upon his return. And verse 45 talks about him giving his servants food as he ought to, making sure his servants are fed and cared for. And that applies to preachers and teachers of the Word of God, that while Jesus is away, we are to feed you and nourish you the Word of God. And I've been doing that for over 45 years, teaching and preaching the Word of God. And until Jesus comes, as long as I'm able, I'm going to do that in one way or another. We are to be faithful serving the Lord. And if you are faithful in serving the Lord, Jesus says you will be rewarded and you will be blessed. Look at verse 47. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. See, if you've been faithful to Jesus, serving him in this life, then in the kingdom of God, he will give you responsibilities. And you will have positions of honor and responsibilities in the kingdom. But let me tell you this. Whereas responsibility in this life is a burden and can be very tiresome, it won't be that way in the kingdom. You'll have a glorified, wonderful, strong body and spirit, and you will find serving Jesus absolutely delightful. So believers will be examined and rewarded when Jesus comes again, but here's the important thing. Also, for unbelievers, will be judged and condemned. Judged and condemned. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what happened in the days of Noah? When the flood came, verse 39 says, it took them all away. They were swept away by the flood. In the last of verse 39, Jesus says, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The judgment of the return of Jesus will not be a flood, but it will be like the flood in its effect. All unbelievers will be swept away in judgment. In fact, if you look at verses 40 to 41, it says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. There's going to be a great separation that takes place when Jesus comes again. Those who are unbelievers will be taken and left or swept away to judgment. And those who are believers will be taken up to be with the Lord and will be rescued from the judgment that's coming, just like Noah and his family were rescued by the ark. Yes, if you're not prepared for the judgment that is to come, then Jesus warns that you will face worldwide judgment of all unbelievers. And another warning is given in verses 50 and 51. Notice it says that the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour when he is not aware of and cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now the language here may be figurative indeed of the kind of rough executions that would take place in that day and time, but the weeping and gnashing of teeth reminds us, of course, of hell that Jesus warns about. Created for the devil and his angel, but all who are deceived by him and follow him will share in the same fate. And notice the kind of description of people who are not ready for the return of Jesus and who will face this judgment. The last of verse 41, the attitude that says, my master is not coming anytime soon, so I'm going to live as I want to live. Verse 51 talks about appointing their place with the hypocrites. People who profess faith in Jesus but have no faith in Jesus. It's all a show. It's all hypocrisy. And verse 49, it says, he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Folks, this is describing someone who's supposed to be a Christian. Someone who mistreats people. Who verbally and even physically abuses people. Who gets drunk with the drunkards. Folks, listen, you can talk about Jesus being your Savior, but if your life doesn't match, you better question whether you're ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Kind of like Judas Iscariot, Man, he was one of the 12. He heard many sermons, saw many miracles. And yet in the final analysis, he demonstrated by his betrayal that he was not a true believer of Jesus. And he died a horrible death. Yes, it's one thing to profess faith, but it's another thing to possess faith. I taught Wednesday night from James, faith without works is dead. And he said that three times in chapter 2. Make sure your faith is real. Make sure you're truly ready for the return of Jesus. And that leads to my last point this morning. Therefore, we must be ready and watching for His return. Verse 44, Jesus says, be ready. Be prepared. Make sure Jesus doesn't come and find your soul unprepared for His coming. So how can you know that you're prepared for the return of Jesus? Well, first of all, unbelievers need to be saved now. Now, don't wait. Don't wait until you think, well, it looks like it's getting close. Take advantage of the opportunity to be saved now. Don't be like those described in verses 49 and 48. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, who thinks there's plenty of time to be saved. There's not. You don't know how much time you have. And let me tell you why you need to be saved when you have the opportunity. Because first of all, you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know you'll be alive tomorrow. You don't know that Jesus isn't coming again tomorrow. And furthermore, the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the Bible says God will send them strong delusion so that they will believe the lie because they did not delight in the truth when they heard it. When they had the opportunity to be saved, they said no. And you may lose all opportunity to be saved. As we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And don't be like the people of Noah's day. You know, the people of Noah's day who saw Noah build the ark. Who heard Noah preach that this world has become so wicked that God is going to send a great flood and everybody is going to die. And you know what most people did? They didn't believe him. They mocked at what Noah was doing. And then the Bible says that God shut the door of the ark and the rains began to come and the floods began to rise and people realized it was too late to be saved. At that point, you can't wait until the trumpet sounds. You can't wait until you see Jesus returning. You need to take the opportunity to be saved now while you have the opportunity. Someone has well said, eternity is too long to be wrong. It's too long to be wrong. And so, God loves you and He sent Jesus to die for your sins on the cross. And whoever repents of their sins and believes in Jesus will be saved and prepared for the return of Jesus. But not only do unbelievers need to be prepared for the return of Jesus, but also believers need to be prepared by being watchful for His coming and living accordingly. Jesus drives home the point in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We are to always have the attitude that says, you know, I don't know when the Lord is coming, and so I'm always going to be expecting His return. I'm always going to be living in light of His return because I don't want the Lord returning and finding me not living right, not living faithful to the Lord. In fact, 1 John 3:3 says, whoever has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And so we're going to have the Lord's Supper a little while. And part of the Lord's Supper means you spend time examining yourself. You know, is there some secret sin you need to confess and get right with the Lord? Is there some relationship that's not right that you need to make right? The Lord wants us to forgive and have good and loving relationships with people. You know, are you doing things in secret that, again, God would not be pleased with? You need to make things right. Make things right while you have the opportunity. But, you know, we also need to be watching for His return. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we kind of stay outside or get up on a mountain and they're constantly looking to see if Jesus is coming again? No, not at all. But one thing we can do is watch for the signs of His return. Watch for the signs of His return. I already shared with you some early signs in verses 5 to 12. I shared with you in verse 14 that one sign of His return is that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations, and then the end will come. Well, folks, we're just about there. The gospel has just about reached all the nations, all the tribes of this world. And then in verse 15 and following, there are signs that take place of the tribulation, which shows that the return of Jesus is very close. And even though I don't believe those signs are being fulfilled yet, but we are living in a world environment where those signs could certainly take place now. Not a generation from now, but now. Revelation 13 says, "A day is coming when you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast on your hand or on your forehead." And we're living in that kind of environment, folks. We're already living in that where heavy-handed government policies will say, well, you can't buy or sell unless this, this, and this. Folks, we're there. Jesus is coming again soon. And Jesus gave another sign right here in this text. You know, He said in verses 32 and 33, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these signs, know that it is near at the door." Watch for His return by watching for the signs, which means you need to know the signs of the times. And in verse 34, Jesus says, "This generation will not pass till all these things come to pass." Jesus says, once these events begin to unfold, not a full generation will pass until I come again. It's that close, folks. And He gives an implication of other signs of the time when He says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, that statement is primarily referring to the flood itself, a worldwide judgment. But if you look in Genesis chapter 6, Jesus says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." History is going to repeat itself. As the conditions were in the days of Noah, so will be the conditions at the time of the return of Jesus. And let me show you what the world was like in the days of Noah. Genesis 6:1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. The population has exploded, especially the last two or three generations. Genesis 6:5, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And folks, we have seen great wickedness in World War II in particular. We have seen great wickedness in the communist and other governments of the world. And we're seeing great personal wickedness spreading throughout the world. In Genesis 6:11, the earth also was corrupt before God. Folks, we are seeing corruption. Our world is decaying morally and spiritually right before our eyes. We're seeing more and more corruption in government, even right here in the United States, more so than ever before. The world became corrupt in the days of Noah. And then the earth was filled with violence in the days of Noah. Yes, there's been violence for centuries in the Middle East. There's been violence in many of the countries of the third world that have been less affected by the Judeo-Christian ethic. But even right here in the good old United States, who would have thought we would have seen as much violence as we witnessed in 2020? And folks, I think it's only going to get worse. Yes, Jesus says there are signs pointing to the return of Jesus Christ. And the question is, are you ready for the return of Jesus? He is coming again indeed. I want to share a poem with you that will have a familiar ring this season of the year. "'Twas a night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laid on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in a rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus is here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like He had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him in spite of myself. In the book of life which He held in His hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as He searched for my name. When He said, 'It's not here,' my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written in love gathered to take to His Father above. With those who were ready, He arose without a sound while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight." In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Again, if you're not yet a Christian, the only way you're ready for the return of Jesus is to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as your Savior. And those of us that are saved, let us be found faithful in living right and serving Him when He returns.